Did I make that up? The podcast remembering and recapping Jersey Shore and other iconic reality trash TV from the past and present. I'm your host, Justine Elizabeth. Hi guys, welcome back to Did I Make That Up? Today I'm joined by Sarah. Hi Sarah.
Whoop whoop. Hi.
And today is all about Ronnie because this episode that we're about to talk about is season three. I was gonna say season two. I'm all over the place. Season three, episode five, Drunk Punch Love. And this is the iconic one where Sam punches Ron in the face.
Honestly, oh wow. We talk about this constantly, but it's the whole double standard thing. Like, we'll get to it. I know we'll get to it, but just wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drunk punch love. It's play on punch drunk love. Pretty bad. Pretty bad, guys.
Before that, obviously yesterday Ronnie did get arrested for domestic violence again. It was not with his ex Jen because she was in Las Vegas when she when everything went down. She drove all the way to Los Angeles where Ronnie was and picked up their daughter. So she's safe with Jen and Jen's boyfriend right now. So I'm assuming it must have been with his new girlfriend, Safra, I believe is her name.
Like Sarah mixed with Saffron?
Yeah.
That's an interesting name. Okay.
So I mean, there's no details yet. It's just that...
I just have to say, like, it's not an accident for domestic abuse to follow you. I'm just going to say that. And we can get into the rest.
Yeah.
As an abuser, I mean, not as a victim. I mean, that's also maybe not an accident, but I'm not saying it's a victim's fault. I'm saying to Ronnie, about Ronnie, like, circumstances may have been this, that, or the other thing in one case, but the common denominator is you, bud.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, His arrest in 2019 with Jen when he chased her out of the house with a knife, that they gave him 36 months probation. So he's actually still on his probation from that while he just got arrested. So he's probably doing jail time.
Yeah, that's some pretty deep water. You can only escape for so much. Like you can only get so many excuses. It's almost like school. Like, so many detentions before you get suspended and so many suspensions before you get expelled. Seems to be how it is with domestic violence, even though it should be, like, probably way different.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, I just, like, don't know what to say. Obviously, on this podcast a lot, I do defend Ronnie. Those are only in the circumstances of what is shown on the show for us to believe. This is actually the first episode that I'm actually, I'm not turning on Ronnie, but where I kind of see Ronnie start to, like, actually crack, and I never saw that before, so.
This is an episode in which you do see his role in the abuse. I don't know if it was already occurring the whole time. That is my assumption, but abusers can be really manipulative, and they can also be really get off on the other person hurting them. The thing in this relationship is I think Ronnie and Sammy are both like that, and that's why it's so hard to follow. And it's like you want to be on someone's side, but at the end of the day it's like they're both bad, like at least they turned bad. But yeah, I know what you mean with Ronnie. You can only judge what you see, and you're being situational. Everything is situation by situation. But in this episode, you can see him bearing over her, you know, physically intimidating her. And that is just as bad as her punching him in the face. So,
yeah, they definitely should have broken up after this insane night that they had together. And obviously they didn't. And they continued to date for
way too long.
Like, what, 3 more years after this? So it's just...
seems like at least, yeah.
I always just think about days. Like what about the stuff that, like, when the cameras weren't there, you know, like what happened when what we didn't see.
Right. I was just talking to Matilda about this, is like reality shows and the character or documentary shows and the people that don't want to be around the cameras, a lot of times their motive is probably that they can't abuse their partner in front of the cameras. You know, we were talking about Intervention, but mm-hmm. I could see that. Him being totally, like, able to control it for to a certain point in front of the cameras until he just couldn't anymore.
And it's like, we'll never really know the truth, because even if either of them did, like, a tell-all special or, you know, went on the podcast and told stories of, like, you know, stuff that we never saw in the show, mm-hmm. I wouldn't believe a word that came out of either one of their mouths.
I was just going to say.
I wouldn't believe her, and like, I wouldn't believe him. So we'll never know, right?
It's so pathological. Like, there would be no point, you know? It wouldn't be like a healthy person that's, like, gone through recovery talking about the reality of their role in something. It would be utterly defensive.
Exactly.
I mean, the only reason Sammy has any remorse in this episode is because there's video of her punching Ron in the face. And then when she apologizes, she's like, that was wrong. Sorry, I punched you in the face. But anyways, I'm hurt. Just like, no, you just committed a crime against this person. You don't get to talk about how you're hurt now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unreal. But also, it's not like he was any better. He did not provoke her, though. It has to be stated. If you didn't watch this episode, if you've never seen it, he did not provoke that punch. He was as passive could be. And she was mad that he, and then she finally answered a question that she trapped him. So, like, that's another part of it. It's like, it's not like she's lashing out because he's coming down on her or vice versa. He's sitting there at the table with his head in his hands. And she's like, are you friends? Is she your friend? I just want to know, is she a friend? Is she a friend? Is she a friend? And he says, yes. And then she punches him in the face. Like, not cool, guys. It's not second grade. Okay? We're all allowed to be friends. But, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, you are. So the episode starts with JWoww and Snooki at JWoww's house. Of course, her breakup with Tom, going to pick up her dogs. And the beginning of the episode kind of just goes back and forth between Long Island, where JWoww's house is, and the Shore House. So at the Shore House, we see Ryder, Snooki's best friend, arrive at the house. Vinny is the first person to greet her. As we found out in the first episode, they had sex recently before this, so that's interesting. And then back in Long Island, JWoww and Snooki attempt to change the locks on the doors, which is very important. And they basically just pack up the dogs and drive them back to Seaside, where Dina and Ryder decide to hang out. Dina's entertaining her. They go to the bar. We find out it was Ryder's birthday a couple days before, so they're having a good time. And then when JWoww and Snooki come back to the house, everyone in the house is just ready to go to the club, and we get our first karma scene of the episode. And this is where the Ron and Sam stuff actually starts from. So Ronnie is talking to a girl he knows, and Sam comes up, and she's clearly drunk, and she's like, who is that? Who is that? And Ronnie's like, you know my friend Mike with the baby? That's his girlfriend. Relax. And then Sam's like, well, it didn't look like her. And then Ronnie goes, want me to bring her over? She'll show you her C-section. Mm-hmm. I think he meant her scar. C-section, yeah. Scar.
Yeah, definitely.
So funny. Sam just looks like, oh.
She's drunk and it's over the top, and he tells her to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm. And then Vinny meets this girl, Gina, who's there with her whole family. And this is the episode where we get to see Gianni for the first time.
Oh, right. I didn't realize this was the first time.
Mm-hmm. So more into that later. So the house gets home from the club. Polly has girls. Vinny has that Gina girl. Snooki and Ryder are there. Sam is completely hammered at this point, in my opinion. Her and Ron are upstairs in their room. And Sam just looks at him and she goes, don't you touch anybody. And Ron's like, I didn't touch anybody. And then Sam goes, I saw it, you fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. And then Ron, who? And Sam's like, you. And then Ron's like, who did I touch like that? And then Sam's like, you tell me, bro. You fucking did it. Not me. You never loved me. You hate me. And then Ron goes, well, right now, yes, I do. And Sam's like, you always hate me. And then Ron says, no, that's your own imagination. You're going to realize someday, sadly. You know what you just did? The last person you had in this house. And then Sam just like cuts him off and she's like, are you done? Because I'm going to go home. And then this is where Ron is like snaps. He's like, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm fucking done. So get the fuck out. Is that what you want to hear? Pack your shit and get the fuck out. So Sam just goes downstairs. She gets a slice of pizza. Ron is upstairs, and this is where he decides to throw all of her shit just across the room. Mm-hmm. Ron, we were rooting for you. We are all rooting for you. It's never okay to, like, touch anybody else's stuff.
No, property destruction isn't okay. It's okay to be frustrated, but, yeah, he didn't handle it well. I mean, she was really baiting him, but he didn't handle it well.
Yeah, and then Mike comes in the room because, you know, as we all know, Mike unfortunately has to share a room with them this season. And Ron says to him, what have I done to her in Jersey? What have I done, bro? And Mike is just like, oh my God, I don't want to deal with this. So he leaves the room. Mm-hmm. And then Sam comes in with a slice of pizza for him. And she's so drunk, she doesn't even like notice at first. And yeah, Ronnie's just like sitting on the bed giggling. Oh.
And she might have forgotten a little bit about the fight if she's that drunk, you know?
Yeah, exactly. In her head, she's probably just like, I'm going to bring him pizza and we're going to eat and like go to bed. Like,
yeah, we'll be fine.
You know, obviously, yeah, when you're drunk, you obviously don't comprehend the same, the things the same way. So it does make sense.
And you can forget, you could forget a lot of things that you say within seconds of saying them.
Just him like sitting there on the bed cracking up though, like that bothered me a lot.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot too. Men, I should say people in aggressive situations that start laughing, it's a really, really creepy tactic. It just feels manipulative to me every time that I experience it or see it.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's like, it's meant to incite anger.
Mm-hmm. And then she goes to hand him the pizza and he's like, mm-hmm. don't bring me anything. And then she's like, what? She's so confused. And then he goes, I took your shit. It's over there. Pack it. So she looks and then that's when she realizes what he just did. And he's like, I think it's funny. And she's like, that's not funny. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, Mike is like getting ready for bed and he just keeps like walking in and out of the room. And he looks at her and he's just like, he just kicked you out of your own room. Mm-hmm. Oof. Mike has a talking head here where he says, if you're in a relationship and you're fighting that much, is it really fun? And agreed. Totally agreed.
Yeah, it's not about fun.
Yeah.
It's never been about fun.
Exactly. So, meanwhile, upstairs, Ron says to Sam, I hope you have a fucking book written for the apology in the morning and your tears mean dick to me.
Right.
And then we just see, like, Polly pop his head in the room and he's like, shit.
Right, but, like, regardless of this, no one has, like, no one comforts Sam. Everyone is still telling Sam that, like, she is being really unreasonable before and after the punch. Because what she's angry about is nothing. And then she decides, well, you haven't gotten there yet. I'll let you get there. Sorry.
Okay, well, first of all, I think that Ronnie was right about everything he said in the argument. Because she was starting to, like, she was purposely trying to start another fight with him, as she always does. And so I thought that he was right, but he was like, I haven't done anything to you. So, like... Mm-hmm. You know,
his reasoning was correct. His behavior wasn't great, but yeah, his reasoning.
Exactly. It was just until he was like you said, standing over her, I didn't like. And when he like threw her stuff against when he threw her shit, obviously that was fucked up. I didn't like that either, but I think he was right. He just handled it wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they just should have been fucking broken up by now.
Yeah, they should be broken up, and individually they should probably do a lot of things, but doesn't seem like it's happened, at least not for Ronnie. He's just got arrested again, so.
And it's so sad, too, because I thought he was doing better.
Well.
Because, like, yeah. I don't know, they gave him, they like, a good edit on Family Vacation, seeming exactly. like he went to rehab and he got his shit together and he tackled his demons. And he seemed really happy with this girl he's with. I mean, she's really young. She's definitely, like, in her early 20s and he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, but if his demons really aren't under control, then it doesn't really matter who he loves. They're going to come back, you know?
Yeah. I want to know the details, obviously. I mean, it seems like she's staying off social media with it for now. So, I mean, at least it doesn't seem like it's going to be like a complete train wreck with the him and Jen thing where, you know, they're constantly going at it on social media and we got all these lives of them yelling at each other. And
right. It's more private than that.
Yeah.
Like you said, what happens off camera or outside of the public eye is obviously worse than whatever we've seen.
Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, outside, Vinny is with that Italian girl, Gina, that he brought home. That's somehow related to Gianni. Mike, they're all like sitting outside and Mike's with a girl and he says to her,
it's her uncle, right? Isn't it her uncle?
Well, her uncle's like the other guy, but then Gianni's with her uncle.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So Mike says to the girl he's with, he's like, do you want sweatpants or something more comfortable? And the girl's like, yeah, sure. And they get up. And then I didn't even realize until this point that he had brought two girls home because it pans to her friend who's sitting there and she's like, what about me? I thought it was so funny. And then Roger's there, J-Wa's boyfriend, and he goes, your name is Skip. And the girl goes, no, my name's not Skip. So the girl, like, gets up and follows them inside. I'm like, oh my god, this is so cringe.
Embarrassing.
And then this, like, okay, I thought this whole thing was so funny when it happened, and just rewatching it, I'm like, oh, this is one of those cringy moments. But Vinny's like, I'm going to go grab the horn. So he grabs this horn that he calls the grenade whistle, obviously. And he's like, this was a really funny like shot though. He's like blowing the horn and Mike's like inside having a conversation with the two girls. And then he just stops talking and he looks, he's like, what the fuck is that? And it's just like this horn blowing.
Weren't those like, the Olympics was around then in China, maybe? I can't remember which Olympics. It was like 2010. And those were like a popular instrument in the country. No, it was not China. Maybe it was like, I don't know. But the 2010, yeah, it was the 2010 Olympics. I'll have to look it up. But it was like Baba Zaya or Yaya Zaya or something. It's like it's an instrument. That's what he was blowing. It was like, they were trendy at the time.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that those things had a name. I thought they were just like shitty little prizes for boardwalk games.
And I'm sure they are, but I'm sure that's why they were around on the boardwalk at that time.
And then this is where the uncle and Gianni walk in. So it's right. The two of them. And then he's like, that's my niece right there. And he takes her away. So... I don't think I've ever heard if Snooki ever mentioned how, like, how he's related to him or how Gianni's related to this girl or anything, but
I didn't, but it didn't seem really important.
It doesn't really matter. I think it's the next episode she gets with Gianni at the club, which is very interesting. It's kind of crazy that it's like that Snooki has and Gianni, how they both have that footage of them meeting for the first time forever. You know what I mean? Like, who can say that they have that?
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Turned out well. That's valuable. That's exciting to have and to see, for her to see her self growing up with him is probably really exciting too, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Just for them personally, yeah.
Yeah, so Ronnie's inside on the couch upset and Jenny goes up to him and she's like, you know, I'll always love you, right? Like, I'm here for you. And then Ronnie is like full on crying. He's like, mm-hmm. I just want to be happy with her, Jenny. And JWoww's like, I went through the same shit with Tom. You and me are in the same boat because we have guilt. And then Ronnie's like, I love Rizzo. And JWoww's like, I know you love her. And she even says last year she begged and begged and begged for us to tell her. And so we told her because we wanted her to leave. I never thought she would flip the script. I never thought in a million years that I'd fight, that I would fight her. And then Jenny basically says that last year Ronnie was himself when he like arrived in the Miami house, and he's not himself right now. And all Sam's going to do is bring him down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really dangerous combo. They do really forgive Ronnie for a lot, but in the moment, it's important. It's important for him to be, unfortunately, it doesn't work, but in the moment, it's important to them to let him know, like, please break up, let her go. And if only that had happened.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Jenny was in the right here, personally, because she said mm-hmm. the truth, yeah, which is pretty much like...
She wasn't yeah. even talking shit. She was just saying, like, this
yeah,
is
like how she said, working. Yeah, like how she said, me and you were in the same position because I felt the yeah. same way with Tom. Like, we allowed ourselves to be, like, abused in that sense because we both felt guilty for stuff that we did to them. And this is the shit that I always say. You can't tell someone you forgive them and then keep bringing it up every time you fight. Mm-hmm. You either forgive and essentially forget, or you don't forgive them and you leave the relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't see how anyone could think that she was right for yelling at him for talking to people in the club when he wasn't. And then, like, if I did that to a guy, if we were in the club and I was drunk and I'm like, why are you talking to that girl? Well, I like ripped my headphones out. Mm-hmm. And then the guy was like, that's like our mutual friend's girlfriend. I'd be like, I am so sorry. You know, yeah, totally. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so drunk and dumb. I wouldn't be like,
you wouldn't keep it up.
I wouldn't be like, you did it to me. Like,
yeah. Like, well, who cares? You're still a jerk because I decided.
Like, they both say that they want to be happy together and they just want to move on, but they don't.
No, they don't want to move on. I'm sure they in some way want to be happy together, but there's like, that's not a possibility because they, like you just said, they don't actually want to move on.
I think that this is the thing with like a lot of really toxic couples is that you're addicted to the like, you're addicted to the makeup of it all. Do you know what I mean? Like you fight mm-hmm. so hard because you know that when you make up, that makeup... And we see it in this episode.
Yeah. That's how you know how to get happy is to get really, really mad first. And then the happy comes. Mm-hmm. If you don't know better than that, then that's what you'll keep doing.
That feeling of like, oh my God, this person loves me so much because they'll make up with me. Like, I don't know. It's such, unless you've been in that situation, it's so hard to.
Mm-hmm.
To like comprehend it. But I think a lot of us have been in that situation.
It's definitely common. I mean, you know, you look at this, look at the Teen Mom episode that we just were talking about after this. I mean, it's chronic that this happens in relationships, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, head on over to my Patreon because I'm obviously I'm covering this latest season of OG, but it was part one of the reunion this week. So I'm just going to do the entire reunion in one episode next week. So Sarah and I are doing a throwback episode for my Teen Mom episode this week. And it's the one where mm-hmm. Janelle chases after Kiefer in the flip flops.
It's Justine's favorite impersonation of all time.
It's my favorite, one of my favorite Teen Mom scenes of all time. Like definitely top three. So that says a lot about how fucking good it is.
It has it all. It has it all. You even care about Janelle in that scene because Kiefer's such a piece of something.
They're both so stupid. So back outside now. Ronnie, Jenny, Mike, and Dina, pretty much just everyone is outside, and Ronnie asks Mike, he's like, have I done anything wrong, bro? Mike's like, no, no, you haven't. And then Jenny gives him like a hug and he kisses him on the cheek. And he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, I'm sorry too. Like, it is what it is. And I liked that they moved forward in this. I thought it was so genuine.
Well, it's an example of like somebody that isn't like Sammy or Ronnie reasoning with something. Like somebody reasonable came in. I do feel J-Well is reasonable, even though there is drama around her. I think she's a much more reasonable person than Sammy.
Yeah.
And so Ron could be like, okay, yes, I see what you're saying. And I mean, at least at that point. And they're also not dating.
And like, we'll get to it at the end of the episode, obviously, but Jenny even says like she's so happy because she has this like new thing with Roger, and she's like clearly in love with him. I loved them at the beginning, you know. I didn't know the insane stuff that was going to go down with them when this aired. None of us did, but you know, you can just see how happy she is. And when you're that happy, you don't care to like have this grudge dragged on, you know? And I feel like that's where she was just at in the moment. Like, I'm happy now and I want to see everyone else around me be just as happy, even though Ronnie was like a huge piece of shit to me. And like at the end of the episode, you know, her and Sam talk it out too, but obviously she wasn't going to talk to Sam in this moment because who would?
Yeah, she was still having a lot of she was still drunk and she was still upset, and that's not the time to confront anybody about anything, really.
Yeah. So Ryder and Snooki are like asleep on the bed upstairs on the rooftop, and Polly's like, oh, let's go upstairs and sing Ryder happy birthday. So Mike goes upstairs to the smush room with his girl, but then he goes back into his room where him, Ron, and Sam have their room, and Sam's laying in the bed, and he asks her if she has condoms, and she's like, I don't know, ask Ron, but I don't think he has any. And Mike's like, I thought this was a little shady. Mike's like, well, he's got to have one. It's like,
yeah, he's stirring the pot.
It's like, sure. It's like, yeah, it's like, why would Ronnie have condoms? Because unless Sam's like, yeah, like if they use condoms, she would be like, yeah, we have tons or whatever, you know. They've been dating for a year at this point. Clearly, they're not using condoms, or I would think at least.
If they were, she would have known that he had them. Obviously,
I know. If I went to like. If I was in this situation or a vacation or anything like that with a guy, and like it's your long-term boyfriend that you haven't used condoms with in however long, and they have condoms, you'd be like, why the fuck do you have condoms?
Oh,
right?
Oh my God. If Kyler had like fresh like condoms, I'd be like, oh, we got to talk, buddy.
Right.
There'd be no other reason. I mean, just because in our, it's fine to use condoms, but we personally don't because we're monogamous, we're clean, and I'm on birth control. I have an IUD, so we don't need them.
On one episode of Teen Mom 2, like the newer ones, Jade, it's not funny, but it is. So her like baby daddy Sean, she went out of town or whatever, and then she comes home and she found a used condom in the garbage. And she confronted him about it, and he said that he jerks off into condoms.
That's the worst lie I've ever heard in my life.
I think some guys weirdly do, though.
I don't.
I don't believe him in that situation, obviously, but I think some guys do. But I think that if you did, you would probably try to hide it even more. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't try to hide that. Is
the
it
feeling of your,
that hard to like take out the garbage? You know, if there's something in the garbage you don't want the person to see?
You would do that probably if you had a weird habit. But if you were cheating, maybe not. It'd be easy to forget because you were in the moment of cheating. You know?
Fair, fair.
I don't think anyone jerks off with a condom on.
I give too much credit to these people. And then I always think like, why am I giving them credit? Like, why am I trying to give them like the benefit of the doubt? They're all like losers.
I get it. Like, just like, not to get gross, but if somebody with a penis is pleasuring themselves with their hand, I assume the friction between the hand and the penis is important, the same way it would be between a penis and a vagina, which is exactly why people with penises typically don't like condoms. And a lot of times people with vaginas don't either, because it's a barrier between skin on skin. So I just don't know why anybody would jerk off with a condom on. That'd be like...
Because it's like less of a cleanup, I guess.
I don't know. Condom, you still have to clean up after using a condom. I mean, it's still all over your dick.
Yeah. Yeah, the only person who likes condoms is Charlie Runkle. And that's a Californication reference. Come over to Coast to Coast Cocktails and hear us drunk talk about Californication for 4 hours.
Both episodes are up now.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Mm. So this is like the iconic Sam is asking Mike where Ronnie is, and then Mike goes talking to Jenny. And of course, this is typical Mike stirring the pot.
Always.
Always. But hey, he earned that paycheck that he got from, he sure earned it. Sam immediately just gets up out of bed. She rips the blankets off of herself and she goes over the balcony and just yells, "Ron, what are you doing?" And then Ron's like, "Talking." Sam's like, "About what?" And Ronnie's like, "Everything." Jenny walks away, obviously, at that point, because she's like, "This isn't about me. I'm getting the fuck out of here."
She can read the room.
Yeah. And then Sam's, "Are you friends with her?" And Ronnie's just like, that was more like Janelle than Sam, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then Ronnie's just like playing with a lighter. I should have had a lighter right here, but he's just like flicking it, ignoring her.
He has a very passive stance. Passive stance, for sure.
Yeah. And then Sam, "Are you friends with her?" "Ronnie, if that's how you want to take it." And then Vinny, Polly, basically everyone, Dina, is just like coming out of the house with their cake. And then Vinny's like, "Hey, we're going to Ryder's birthday." And Sam, "I don't give a fuck. Are you, Ron?" Dude, imagine you're one of the roommates that's not Ron or Sam. And you're just like drunk, like trying to light this cake on like a windy Saturday night or whatever it is to give it to Ryder for her birthday, and all you can hear is Sam screaming like that. Like, how annoyed would you be?
Yeah, it would be very irritating, especially because it's hard to have sympathy for Sam. It's really hard.
The screaming like that, like, I don't know.
Well, she's like incredibly entitled. Even after all of this, when she's apologizing, you know, I won't give anything away, but at the end of the episode, she's like, "I gotta do what's right for me. I can't do this because it's hurting me." Like, it still doesn't occur to her that other people are affected by her behavior. It's really all about her. That's just how her mind is. Like, that's truly how her brain works. So it's very hard to give a shit about her when she's upset.
I know. I get that they're on a reality show and they're like wasted the whole time, but like fighting in front of other people is so fucking embarrassing, let alone like a whole house and a camera crew, and knowing that like this was like the most popular show of the mid-2000s and every single person from like 15 to like 45 years old was watching it, you know?
Yeah. It makes you really have to ask, like, what's in it for her? Why does she keep coming back? Like, what is this? What is the function for Sam? Is it just having attention? Is that all it is? You know, because she purposefully makes everything hard.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Like I said, I think that she, I don't know. I think Ronnie's addicted to the toxicity and to the making up and the breaking up and the fighting, because that's what we've seen from Ronnie. as we were discussing earlier. I think that
a lot of adrenaline and that really angry energy, and that's how he's learned to have a relationship, like you said earlier.
Yeah. I think with Sam, I think maybe Sam knows that they shouldn't be together, and but at the same time, she's like, doesn't want to make herself look stupider than she already made herself look in Miami. Mm-hmm. So maybe in her head, she's like, I have to prove to people that we're meant to be together so that they don't. I don't know. Sure. I don't know.
I think you're right. You know what I think really is, I think she wants to prove it to herself because she doesn't want to let go. But other people are an extension of that. I want to prove it to myself, aka the world. I want to show off that I can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. It's kind of a universal, like, I need to show that this will work.
I mean, obviously, everyone now is like, oh my God, Sammy got her happy ending. You know, like, Sammy got this perfect guy that's going to marry her, and she's so happy with him. And it's like Sam's not on a reality show anymore. TMZ mm-hmm. doesn't follow Sam's life anymore. You know what I mean? Like, no. I'm sure if some outrageous shit with her happened, then, like, I'm sure we would find out about it. But I'm saying, like, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We don't know if Sam and this guy are truly happy. She's obviously going to make it seem like her life is so much better now without the show, right?
Right. Right, and maybe she's worked on herself, and maybe she hasn't. And if she hasn't, honestly, she'd be like a lot of other people in America that have mediocre marriages and don't have emotional intelligence, and then procreate.
I don't think Sam wants to have kids, to be honest.
Well, that's fine, too.
Because I remember on, like, Snooki and JWoww, she came over to meet Snooki's son Lorenzo when he was first born, and I don't know, someone else was there, and they were like, oh, you know how everyone's like, oh, so when is it gonna be your turn or whatever, and Sam was like, no thanks. And then there was another time where Snooki mentioned
she has, like, no maternal instinct whatsoever.
Yeah, there was another time where Snooki mentioned, like, oh, Sam said she doesn't want to have kids till she's like 50, and in my head, if you say that, then it means you don't want to have kids, because that's what I used to say. Oh, if I'll have kids, it'll be like when I'm in my 40s. I'll, like, freeze my eggs, and I'm, like, going to be 30 in a couple months, and I'm like, nah.
It's kind of funny because there should be some sort of, like, plan for people that don't want to have kids but, like, would be totally cool with being a grandma. You know what I mean? There should be, like, surrogate grandma opportunities. You just spoil the kid, and then you send him home. You know what I mean?
Well, you're an aunt. I'm an aunt, so yeah, exactly. I got it perfect.
You could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I admire anybody who is honest about the fact that they don't want children and doesn't let society pressure them for the wrong reasons. I think that's really hard to do, and I think it's admirable because society is so judgmental, and they think that if they do something, then everybody else should have to do it, or else maybe they're wrong. And then they pressure other people, or they guilt other people. They make people feel like they're abnormal for not wanting a certain thing, when in fact it's not harming anybody. It's actually probably helping everybody, because you're not having children that you don't want.
Exactly. I don't know. I think for me, having a nephew now is, like, the best of all worlds for everybody. Because, like, obviously he's still, like, a newborn baby. He's only, God, I have to do this math.
A few months. 4, maybe?
Almost 5 months now, because it's going to be May. It's going to be May. And he was born in December. But when he's, like, older, like, I even said, I'm like, I would love to have a kid to, like, take to Disney and, like, do the fun Disney things with, not when they're at the age where, like, they're still annoying and whiny, when they're, like, old enough to, like, not be whiny and appreciate it. You know what I mean?
When they have the comprehensive ability to enjoy Disneyland and understand that they have to wait, absolutely. I do know what you mean.
Dude, you know how many little kids at Disney, I was getting, like, so pissed off. I was like, because they were, like, crying and whining. And I'm like, if you only knew how much fucking money your parents probably spent on this vacation, and you're being, like, a little shit.
You should be mad at their parents, though, because the reason that they feel like they can do that is because their parents enable them. Just saying.
Oh, it makes me so upset when I see little whiny spoiled kids because, like, growing up, my parents could never, like, I never went on a vacation until I was, like, old enough to actually pay for it myself. Like, my parents, my family and I never went on family vacations. Like, we couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. I would beg my mom to take me to Disney World and I'd be like, it's all I want to do. And I was a kid and she's like, I'm sorry, I just can't. And after I finally went, I'm like, okay, now I realize why you can't, because like that shit's expensive. Sure, but sure, like, you know, but when you see people like don't appreciate things, I don't know why I'm going on this tangent. I just hate kids.
Well, I think you probably really resent children. Not children in general, but people who don't appreciate what they have. And that's fair. That's a part of, you know, experiencing loss and experiencing, you know, not having had that. And when you see somebody who has something that you would have killed for being a dick about it, it's very, very aggravating.
It's totally aggravating.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being annoyed with that. And you know what? If they're, in most cases, unless there's like, you know, a behavioral disorder or a cognitive disorder or an intellectual disorder, if it's just this, if it's a typically functioning child that's just being a jerk, I guarantee you it's because those parents allow that child to be a jerk.
That's all. Oh, for sure. No, for sure. That I don't know. I just hate like screaming kids in general. Like when I go out and stuff, you know what I mean? Like it's just, that's one of the many reasons I don't want kids, because I'm like,
absolutely love a screaming child. Love a screaming child. Love spit up all over me. Just kidding. I get you, girl. I understand. Yeah.
I remember because my brother used to like be a cook at a restaurant for a very, very, very long time. And he said one time it was like a long weekend or something, like one of their busiest nights. And they were in the kitchen and he said like their orders were just like coming out of the thing and like on the floor and like looped around. And it's like there's nothing you could do except just like make them. And like, you know, the waitresses are coming back like how much longer? And it's like one of those insanely stressful nights. And one of the waitresses was like carrying two things of hot soup and or more, whatever, carrying them. And then the kid, like there was some little kid running around the restaurant and he bumped into her. And thank God she didn't spill the hot soup on him. But but my brother said she came back and she was like in tears. And she's like, if I spilled the hot soup on that kid, like they probably would have like sued the restaurant. Like I would have lost my job. And my brother was like so upset. My brother's like, when I have kids, my kid's never going to fucking do that. And I'm like, I know. Like, right. How can you let your, like, how can you be so oblivious to the outside world, but to like let your kid run around a restaurant like that?
Entitlement and also laziness. I think it's mostly entitlement, laziness, and the inability to accept the fact that your child may not be perfect. Those are the three things that I've usually noticed.
Oh, like I had a fucked up childhood, but like one thing that like both my parents will always say to me is that like my brother and I like never acted out in public. Because, like, I just remember, like, I would just, like, if we went to a restaurant and we started getting, like, hyper or something, I swear to God, my dad would just, like, look at me a certain way and I, like, wouldn't talk for the rest of the day.
I totally know what you mean. I have great parents, but we had very clear boundaries and very clear limits and very obvious ways to behave. And if we didn't behave, we didn't get to go anywhere. Like, that was not, you know. Mm-hmm. My parents stuck to the rules. They stuck to those standards, and I'm grateful for that because I always knew how to behave, and usually I knew how to behave better than people my age. So,
yeah. Okay, where am I? So Sam keeps yelling, "Are you friends with her? Are you friends with her?" And then she comes down from the room balcony to the main like outside area where Ronnie's sitting, and Mike's on the top rooftop, and he's just looking over watching them. And then Sam is like at knee level with him, and she's like, are you friends with her? Let me know now. And she's like, she keeps asking him, and he's just looking away. And
she's being,
I don't know what kind of reaction she's trying to get out of him. Does she want him to be like, yeah, I'm fucking friends with her, leave me alone? Because I think even if he said that, she probably still would have punched him in the face.
If she wants him to say anything that will in her mind allow her to punch him in the face. She wants to punch him.
What if he was like, no, I'm fucking not friends with her, and I told her to fuck off?
Then I think she would have kept saying, you're lying, tell me you're friends, because I saw this and I saw that. I think that's my guess, but I read from this situation that she absolutely wanted to hit him. She was waiting for any confirmation to hit him. That was what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. She came in swinging. Like, she came in hot.
Literally.
She goes, this is my last time trying. Are you friends with her? And Ronnie, like, shook his head, but it wasn't in, like, a no way. It was in a more like, I'm not talking to you type of way, like, get away from me type of way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I hope that everyone who's listening to this has seen this episode or this clip at least. It's pretty famous.
Hard to forget.
Yeah. So he does that kind of, I rewound it a couple of times to see if, you know, but that's still the impression I got out of it. So anyways.
Regardless of anything, he's in a defensive posture, meaning he's like this. His hands are over his head. No matter who he is as a person, there's no excuse to attack someone in a defensive posture. The only reason you should, like, biologically speaking, the only reason you should ever hit someone is if they're going to hurt you. I mean, I know that's not always why, but what I mean to say is she has no grounds for any excuses, because he's leaning over the table like a sullen teenager with his head over his hands over his head. And when he says, I guess, or whatever it is he says, he's looking meek. He's looking down, and she punches him in the face.
Yeah, she socks him. Like, she gets him good.
It's quick, too. And he's just like, if it weren't Ronnie, there would probably be a big reaction, but because it's Ronnie, he's like, I'm gonna shake it off.
She, like, followed all the way through with that punch. Like,
she did. There was no, whew. There was no, I don't know what the word would be, like, restraint. And she's drunk, too, so.
No, yikes. She did not give two fucks. I mean, I'm not worried about that, like, hurting Ronnie. Like,
in Sam's mind, episode
where Ronnie got into that insane fight on the boardwalk, and it was like a fucking UFC fight. Like, Ronnie's good.
Also her fault.
Yeah, that fight was also her fault.
She started it, guys. I'm not being sexist. She literally picked a fight and then made him fight other men. I hate Sammy. This isn't news. I hate Sammy on Jersey Shore. It's so funny because there are people in my lives with that name, Samantha, that I love so much. But I hate Sammy from Jersey Shore, from Jersey. She's a nightmare, and she's a bully, and she just simply does not care who she hurts, because in her mind, she's always a victim. Always. She is never not a victim.
Mm-hmm.
In her brain.
And I watched the next couple episodes today. I just kind of had it going on in the background. And the really big fight that her and Ron have, that two episodes from now, Cabs Are Here. I'm so excited for that episode. But that's the episode where, before her and Ron get into that intense fight, like, she kind of starts becoming likable, because, like, she goes out with Dina and she starts talking to all these guys at the bar, and she's like drinking and stuff, and she's like, oh, I'm going on rides, and she's like, well, I'm gonna have fun. And then Ronnie's the one that, like, starts that fight with her. So I think people always just remember that part in their head. But you're right. Like, Sammy always was a bully. She was never likable, in my opinion, at least. Like I said, the whole thing with from day one when she said to Snooki, "I don't want your pukey breath on me," I was like, "No, I don't fuck with girls like that ever." And I'm gonna stick with that.
She's the person on the playground that pushes a kid so that the kid will push her back, and then she can cry and tell the teacher, and they'll give her a sticker and a hug. And the other kid will get in trouble. That is literally who Sammy is. That's all I have to say.
Kindergarten teacher reference. Totally. It's true, though.
That's the mentality.
You know.
She loves being hurt. She loves when Ronnie does something wrong. She sucks that shit up. She hates him to do things wrong.
She likes that. I'm not saying that she likes what happened in Miami, but I think that she likes having something to, like, hold over his head.
She pursues him that doing something quote-unquote wrong. Yes.
She wants to be like, oh, I can do nothing wrong in this relationship because I'm always going to be able to say to him, like, well, yeah, you made out with girls and then came into bed with me. You called your ex-girlfriend, into bed with me, whatever.
For some reason, she seems to think cheating is worse than, like, physical abuse. I highly disagree. Mm-hmm. You punching him in the face.
But Ron didn't even cheat on her. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but they weren't together.
Regardless, like, can you imagine being like, yeah, I punched him in the face, but he cheated on me. Like,
I know. No, I know.
Which one do you get arrested for? Anyway, I'm not... I shouldn't even need to say this, but, like, I obviously don't think all victims of any kind of violence want to be hurt, but I'm talking about Sammy specifically here. And there are bitches, there are people, men and women, whatever alike, that go out and get off on someone hurting them so that they can be sad about it or mad about it. And they can be the victim. That's a high. That's a big high for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So Sam, after she punches him, she goes inside and she immediately calls her mom. She wakes up her poor mom and she's like, I need you to pick me up right now. I'm done with this. Her mom's like waking up. She's like, okay, I'm on my way. And then this is where good guy Mike comes up to play, and he goes to Ronnie and gives him a big hug, and I don't know. I thought that was sweet and genuine. Yeah. Even though Mike started it, essentially.
You know what? But, like,
I think Mike genuinely started it. Cares.
It's like he just allowed the momentum. He just pushed the momentum along. It's like the car was already rolling down the track, and he just, like, saw it stop a little bit, and he was like, oh, "You can keep going." Like, it was already happening.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So Sam goes to her room, and she's packing her stuff. Vinny goes upstairs.
I swear to God, I'm leaving. My mom's coming. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you. I got to tell you I'm leaving. But I'll never leave, but I'm leaving.
He's followed by Polly and Snooki and pretty much the rest of the house. Sam says to Vinny, "This is God telling me that I have to go." And Vinny's like, "This isn't God. God isn't your ego." And Sam goes, "But he's friends with Jenny." And then Vinny goes, "Who cares?" And Sam's like, "I care, Vinny." I'm like, whoa. But
how smart was it of him to say, "God is not your ego"? Like, you're not God, Sam. Like, that was fucking smart as balls. I swear. This is why I love Vinny. Anyway. Commence.
I think it was God telling him, her to break up with him and do her own thing the rest of the time.
No. But I don't think it was. She's saying, "Oh, this is God telling me that I'm a victim," and blah blah blah. And he's like, "No, that's your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Your ego's telling you to frame it that way."
Yeah. So Sam says she can't do it anymore. She's leaving. Her mom's on the way, and Polly's like, "No, you can't leave. You can't leave." By the way, rewatching like the show and everything, I always thought Polly was a way bigger part of the show. Polly doesn't do jack shit. We talked about this on our 420 episode when I did the Floribama Shore, Jersey Shore comparisons, and I said that Polly will just, like, yell random stupid phrases every 5 seconds and realize that he's way too old to be there. Yep. Literally, that's all Polly did, is contribute nothing except for these. Polly was good in the first season, I'll admit, because he brought Danielle, the stalker girl, to the show. Like, he, him and Mike, the situation where he was supposed to go to the room with the girl, but then he turned around and he left her. Like, Polly did some iconic things in the first season. He punched somebody in the mouth because they said something to Vinny. Like, he was good, but then after that, like, the only thing he actually adds is like the stupid like comedic bullshit, which isn't even funny in my opinion. Like, cabs right, are here is not funny. Wake up, yeah, wake up, like, not funny to me. He doesn't contribute anything. Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
right he generally seems to be confused, if nothing else. He's kind of the guy that shows up to go like, what's going on, if anything.
Yeah, him and, like, I don't know. One day I'll do an episode where I come up with, like, my favorite to least favorite characters and what they bring to the show and what they don't. And Polly might be on the bottom. Vinny might be on the bottom, but Polly might too. I don't know. So anyways.
I know who's bottom in my list.
I don't understand why the roommates were begging for her to stay, because their relationship was very annoying to everyone in the house. Everyone agreed. You think that they would want her to go home so that they could just get, like, a break from everything. And obviously we know that she does end up going home for, like, a couple days or whatever it is. But do you think that either they were scared that if she left for good that the show would get canceled after that season? Yes. Do you think that production told them to tell her that, or do you think that they genuinely wanted her to stay, or what do you think?
Production. I think it was 100% production. I think production said, look, we'll let her go home for a little bit. We'll work with that. But, like, can you just tell her to stay? Because we need that energy from you, A. And B, like, she's already signed a contract. She's not going anywhere. Please make it look like someone wants her to stay. That's what I think.
I mean, I know that they get paid per episode, and I know
that likes her.
I know that in a couple more episodes from this one, when she actually does go home, she's still in the episodes because they film her at her house with her mom and her sister. Yeah. So we do know that, like, she didn't lose any money, that I would think, at least. She didn't lose anything. But I wonder if production was, like, genuinely thought that she was worried. Like, I don't know. That, like I said, I totally wish that the show had broken the fourth wall. I wish we saw, like, Sally Ann Salzano, who's, like, the main producer of this, and Flor Bama Shore. Like, I wish we saw her, like, in there talking to her and being like.
I think that if we did, I honestly think that person might have said, okay, we have a dilemma here because we want to keep Sammy on the show, but she has made it so that no one likes her. So we really need anyone who's willing to try to convince her to stay. That's what I assume happened, because it's made very clear. And Ronnie even says it. He's like, I'm the last one that likes you, and you ruined it, like, or whatever he said. Like,
so do you think that she is packing her stuff and the production came down and said to them downstairs, like, we want you and you to go upstairs and tell her, try to convince her to stay?
I do. However, I don't think she was ever going to leave. That bitch didn't have any plans to leave.
No, honestly, she had me fooled, but in
as soon as she laid down with Ronnie and was like, yeah.
As soon as she even tried to talk to Ronnie, I knew that she wasn't planning on leaving. Mm-hmm. I knew it.
Tactics, bitch.
I knew it.
No, you're not the bitch. She's a bitch. She's a bitch with tactics.
So everyone in the house, everyone in the room with her telling her to stay, and she's like saying how fake Ron is for talking shit about Jenny, and then he's friends with her. And then she doesn't want to hear anything the roommates are saying to her. She tells them that she's still leaving, whatever. The whole Jenny Ron thing, I have a lot to say about that, but we'll get back to that. But it cuts now. We get a funny scene. It cuts to Jenny and Roger sleeping in her teeny little single bed. And okay, how uncomfortable was this for Roger? Because he's like,
I know.
He's like, what, so six? Okay, he seems a lot taller because everyone on the Jersey Shore is short. Like, JWoww's like 5'7". So Roger's probably like, I don't know, at least 6'2", 6'3".
Here's what I can tell you.
At least 300 pounds. He's huge. Like, how much did he hate his life / love it in that moment, you know?
Well, if you're new and you're courting and that bitch, that girl is, I almost said that bitch, I'm a terrible, that girl and that partner is like really luscious and you want to be close to them, it's great. I will say that I have shared a twin bed with a partner like in the past, like when I was younger, and it was totally doable. I mean, I'm 5'9".
Their beds were like, wait, is that what they had? Twin beds? Okay.
Yes.
I thought they were like smaller, but okay, go on.
It's weird that it's called a twin, but a twin is like a bunk bed, but like just a bed.
But to me, that's like a single bed.
Oh.
Okay, it's twin though, because like when you buy the sheets or whatever, you would buy twin sheets. But to me, I call that a single bed because it's like only one single person.
Sure, it's for one person. It's for one person. I think that's what they mean, like a twin, like you'd buy two twins make a mattress.
Right.
I don't know, that's why they're called that, but it's stupid. But anyway, so I definitely have experience sharing a twin mattress with my ex who was 6'5" and like, you know, just generally larger.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely like you didn't have space. Like you had to cuddle the whole night, which isn't my favorite thing all the time, but it's possible.
Like Amy Schumer in Trainwreck.
Yes. Can we just, are you comfortable?
Can we just like sleep over there and like I'll sleep over here and like
absolutely gonna get a king bed when we get a house. So I mean, I love cuddling, but there's a time.
I have a king bed and it's the best.
Oh, that's nice. Good for you.
Wish it was a California king though. Oh my god, show me that wine. Show me that wine. No, show me the label. Hang on.
Yeah.
Girl, that's the shit I drink all the fucking time. Are you kidding me? Whenever I would go to like Cleveland or Pittsburgh or anything, I would get like the little six pack of those. No, because it's like $10 for that six pack of those.
Yes, it is. Everyone in America, Justine has figured out our secret to buy Sutter Home mini bottles.
Dude, I would drink like a couple in the hotel. I would bring one with me and drink it like on the way to the bar.
I buy these for the beach because they're plastic and they have a cap. So
that's
amazing.
I've tried I've tried all the white ones. That's so funny. That's the shit I drink when I cross Chardonnay the border.
We're the same. Chardonnay is not my favorite. The Moscato is really good. It's so sweet though, but I love it. Yeah. So Sammy is saying she's going to leave, but then she's in the bed with Ron.
Yeah. Cut to Jenny and Roger together sleeping in the bed. And then,
the twin bed.
Mike is in the kitchen with everybody else, and he's like holding one of Jenny's dogs. Her other dog that's in the room with her won't stop barking.
This part is funny.
So Jenny like comes up to the kitchen and she grabs the dog out of Mike's hand. She's like, I need this one to shut the other one up. That's Jenny's voice to me because she's got like a hardcore smoker voice. Jenny like, lets us know basically that her and Roger have sex. She's like, basically, I am getting feelings for the kid. So, like, I wasn't planning on sleeping with him, but why not? But it's so funny because it shows, like, you know, the shot insinuates that they're having sex, and then the dogs beside them are just like barking the whole time, like crazy.
It's so weird when your pets are nearby when you have sex and you're just like, can you go away? Why do you even want to be here?
What movie or show is that? There's like some show where the dog is like staring and the girl's like, I can't fucking do this. The dog. And the guy's like, oh, he's cool. I don't know. I'm sure there's tons of movies like
Californication with the monkey.
Yeah, there's that with the monkey, the episode we did.
Guys, coast to coast cocktails. What are they talking about? go listen to Coast Cocktails, the most recent episode, Californication Part 2, and it'll answer all your questions.
It'll answer all your questions about life, about sex. So now it's 6:30 a.m. at this point. Almost everyone is still awake. Sam goes outside to talk to Ron. She apologizes.
One of them says, like, this is the longest night we've ever had in this house. And I was like, this episode is sort of like, it's almost like if Flora Bama had an origin story, it would be this episode. Because this is probably the closest that they get.
I think. Did you watch Flora Bama from last night?
I have not yet.
Okay. So I watched it last night. I'm not going to spoil anything for you because obviously we're going to cover it in like a week or so. If you still want to, if you still want to do like the last couple. And then I'm going to put a poll up for my Patreons who are on that level. And I'm going to ask them if they want me to either do the new season of The Hills, which I don't really want to do because it'll probably be boring. Siesta Key or Jersey Shore Family Vacation from season one. So I'll probably do it between Siesta Key and Jersey Shore Family Vacation. So anyways, I don't know, I was all stoned and watching it. And I just kind of came to this conclusion in my head that like Flora Bama Shore is the much better show. I mean, Jersey Shore obviously has such fucking great moments and great episodes, including this one, that like are so good. But this season of Flora Bama Shore, like Nilsa, who I would say is like the Snooki of Flora Bama Shore, she is pregnant and it's COVID time. And this season is still so fucking good. And every single episode, there's so much going on. So if you compare this to Jersey Shore when Snooki was pregnant and how awful of a season that was, like, it, you know what I mean? It's just...
Absolutely. Flora Bama
is... Yeah, it's a great show without trying to be. It just is.
And it really, though there is a lot of drama... It does not feel as important, I guess, because at the end of the day, what's important is like the fun stuff, which is not usually what you feel about a reality show. Or the deep stuff, I guess, like all the in-betweens. It's just, it'll hook you. You got to watch for all the reasons, Flora Bama, and then listen to us talk about it.
Yes, and after this season, I'm going to be starting Flora Bama from season one on here, so.
Yes, 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 and I'm going to help.
All you guys will hear it lots. Okay, so, it's 6:30 a.m. at this point, blah, 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 blah. After Sam apologizes to Ron, she goes on to say that she's hurt by him being friends with Jenny, and she's leaving, and this is her final goodbye to him, and she's like, okay, so I'm done now. You can say whatever.
How many final goodbyes does she need?
A lot. Ron doesn't say one word to her. It's that time also of the day / night where it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to say we've all been there, but a lot of us have been there. I've been there at least. At the party and it's like, in your head, it's still night, but the sun's starting to come out just the littlest bit, and you're like, it's literally that. Ron doesn't say one word to her. He just gets up and walks away.
Which I understand.
And then he goes upstairs on the balcony, and he's crying, and Mike is telling him, Mike's just like hugging him, and he's like, listen, dude, like, do what's best for you and everything else will just fall into place. And I'm like, it's such great advice because it's the truth.
It's good. Yes. Thank you. It's the truth. Yeah.
And then Sam goes up there. Mike walks away and then her and Ron go inside to the room that they share. And then Sam's like, can I hug you goodbye? Ron nods yes, like an idiot. And then they lay in the bed together. Yeah. So in the same night, I didn't realize how insane this was until I like rewatched this as a 29-year-old woman. But in the same night, she punched him in the face, and then they cuddle like how they were cuddling in the bed.
And then she convinces him that they should give it another shot. Basically, what she says is there any chance we could be together? And no.
Yeah, so the way that they're laying like hugging, laying down in the bed. Like she has her like head on his chest, like full blown, like arms, legs just wrapped around each other in the bed. Like
hyper manipulative.
It would be 2 more minutes until they started fucking. Mm-hmm. But this is where I saw no. Okay, so we
resistance
get
from Ron.
We get a talking head from Sam, and it's pretty long, but I want to read the whole thing because I feel like we'll both probably have a lot to say about it. So it says, I feel like I owe Ron an extreme apology. Punching Ron in the face, getting upset that he was talking to Jenny, that was a bad thing. What am I doing? I'm wasting my time hating someone when it's not worth it. Look what I'm doing to myself. So then the talking head stops for a second. We just see more footage of her and Ron cuddling in the bed, whispering sweet nothings in each other's ears. But then her talking head goes on to say, it's not about the relationship. It's about Jenny that made me punch Ron in the face. It was nothing to do with me or Ron or the fight. It was the whole Jenny thing. It's disgusting that I took it to that level.
Okay. I only punched him in the face, but like, it's definitely not my fault that I punched him in the face is basically what she said.
I do not understand.
Our relationship is solid.
I do not understand how people can defend her and how they say that she's the abuser. And how that she's in the right because she literally just admitted out of her own fucking mouth.
Not the abuser.
It was Jenny that made me punch him in the face. So she's still, that literally just shows me that she hasn't grown from the Miami season at all because she's literally admitting.
Even before that, what she says is I'm only hurting myself. I'm only doing this to me. She never once says that was wrong to do that to Ron. She says, what am I doing? I'm destroying myself. Selfish piece of shit. Yeah, no, you're all pieces of shit if you like Sam. I don't give a shit. Like, don't unfollow me. I don't care.
Whoa. No, I just think that there's absolutely no growth.
You can have a different opinion. You're not a piece of shit. I feel that perhaps she's good at manipulating the audience. Not us. But perhaps to some audiences because they see that she's a woman.
Everyone has their own like point of views. Everyone sees things from different ways. I'm always interested when other people think that she, because it frustrates me, but I'm like, how could you possibly see that, you know? But basically, like, I just didn't see any growth from her at all because she claims that she's moved on and she realizes she was in the wrong. And 0%. Even later on, Ron goes on to say that she's like matured and he's falling more in love with her. But how has she matured when she literally is saying that Jenny is the reason why she punched him in the face? Like, Jenny didn't make you do anything. Jenny walked away from the toxicity of you yelling at him, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'll do you one better. What season is this?
Three.
Justine.
And there's 6 seasons. Yes.
I have a question for you real quick. You're the Jersey Shore expert. You've seen this show so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Do Ronnie and Sam fight after season 3?
Yes.
Okay, well then she's full of shit. It's not about me and Ron. Ron. I can't tell. Is it, which one sounds better? Ran? Ron. John sounds more like
the second one.
Ron. Ron. I love you, Ron, but it's like it's hard
to
be
friends with her. Okay, I got
you.
I'm doing like a half Sammy Sweetheart, half Chanel Evans on the brain.
Are you friends with her?
Okay, so
are you friends with her?
Let me know now. So they're laying in bed together and Sam goes,
ugh.
Tell me this is not the most manipulative thing you've ever heard in your life. Sam goes, I've given you plenty of chances to make things better, and you have. Can you give me the chance to make things better now?
Ugh. That's manipulation defined. Hey, remember when you fucked up?
My turn. Once again, she's bringing up bad things that he's done to her. Can't let it go. And she's bringing it up to let the fucked up shit she's just done. Exactly.
Manipulation.
So Ron nods his head yes, unfortunately, and they're cuddling. Sadly,
I don't blame him to be totally honest.
Really?
Blame him? No, because I can't, because I've been in that situation before. I've taken an abuser back because they were like, please, can I make it up to you? I blame him because he's wrong. But I can't say I haven't done the same thing. That's all I mean.
I blame both of them.
Oh, sure. Sure. They both have should have walked away, as I should have walked away. I'm just saying I've been there. Not that it's right.
I just wish.
Phrased it wrong.
At this moment. I mean, I don't wish, because I have a podcast about this and it gives me a lot to talk about and a lot more to talk about.
No, but for the sake of their well-being.
For the sake of the show, obviously, I'm just saying that I wish that she had walked, like, actually left at that point. Or even if she didn't leave, she said, listen, we're breaking up, I'm gonna move my bedroom, you know, I'm gonna switch with Polly or somebody, you know, and
sure. Put Mike out of his misery.
And then, speaking of Mike, so this editing was classic to me. Because this is where we find out that, or not that we find out, but that we kind of get reminded that Mike's still in the room, because he goes, hey, if you guys just want me to go downstairs for some exercise, just let me know.
Like, just read the room, Mike, and go. But yeah, he's funny. He knows how to be funny. That's why he laughs. Does. Yeah.
So we get a scene of Sam calling her mom, and she's like, everything's okay.
I'm fine. I'm staying.
I'm staying. It's fine. And then her mom's like, okay. And then she's like, mom, I punched Ron in the face.
And there's, her mom is just like, well, it's as bad as it gets, I guess.
Well, it's terrible. Like, what else are you supposed to say at that point, you know?
Considering how Sam is, I'm assuming her mom is sort of like, well, honey, you can do no wrong. So she's not going to say bad on you. She's going to say, I guess that's as worse as it gets. You know, that's her way of being like, ooh, I'm going to talk around it.
Well, her mom does tell her that she needs to do more fun things and just be happy, which I thought was great advice, because
yeah, I don't
she
really
never
think
does have fun. So.
But I don't really think Sam is capable of that. Like, I know that sounds weird, but she's in a place where, like, she's not interested in having fun. Does that make any sense?
No, I agree, but I thought her mom's...
It's too bad. No, the advice is good. I'm just, I wonder about Sam. Like, I think there's a reason she can't. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So... Ryder leaves the next morning. The whole house is having like this big dinner.
I like when
really good.
Yeah, I like when Snooki says bye and Ryder goes meh. She sounds exactly like Snooki. Like, oh, best friends.
Sam does this whole thing where she says thank you to the house for being there, and then this is literally what she says. She goes, it turns out that everyone is just like cool and like good people. I'm like, good apology
profound.
To the whole house for ruining fucking...
That's a way of apologizing without apologizing. It's like, oh, I guess you're good people. It's not my fault. I never knew. Guess you're fine. Thanks for being good enough for me. That's what she said, basically. There's no capitulation on Sam's part. That's what I'm saying. She was raised that way. That's why even her own mother can't criticize her.
I totally get that Ryder was like, pass the fuck out, but if Ryder wasn't passed out and she was like awake and everyone was trying to sing her happy birthday, like, I'm sorry, Sam. You should owe Ryder an apology for making her birthday fucking miserable. And Snooki an apology for...
Sam doesn't
care. I'm sorry that your friend... Like, I'm sorry that I made your friend feel uncomfortable or that I acted like that while your friend was there. I know you just said she doesn't care, but just right, me but as someone that actually
she should care.
Does
she should care
about the people around me, like, that's what I would be saying, you know?
That's a good point. It's a good indicator that Sam has never and will never care about other people's feelings. That's been made very clear the whole mm-hmm. show. I've never seen her care about anybody's feelings. So, ever. Not even Ronnie's.
No. So Ronnie, after Sam says that, like, stupid, everyone in the house is cool speech, Ronnie is a talking head where he says he thinks Sam is maturing because she's finally realizing that she's wrong.
Mm-mm.
How fucking toxic can that relationship be?
That's what I'm saying. It's both of them.
It is.
They're both abusive and they're both abused. It's very strange.
It's very hard to wrap your mind around. Yeah, this is the episode for me that specifically, like I said earlier, like something had like clicked in my head at this point that was like, no, they're both fucked up. Like, Ron is doing it back to her. Like, they just shouldn't be together. This is awful. You know?
Yeah.
This is the first episode that really did it to me.
I agree with you. I think it reads that way when you watch it as well. When you rewatch the series as well.
Mm-hmm.
It gets made pretty apparent. So, yikes.
So now we get a date night scene and Jenny, of course, is going out with Roger, and Dina is going out with Dean, aka Great Value Ronnie, as Julie named him.
All right, Dean.
I'm so mad because she said that, and I was like, I'm gonna name the episode that, and then I totally forgot to. So Great Value Ronnie.
Great Value Ronnie.
The four of them go to like this nice restaurant together. And there's a really funny scene where they all do a shot and Roger does the toast and he's like, here's to you two bailing me and Dino out of jail by the end of tonight. And Dina's like, that wasn't a good toast. And it was just really funny.
I love Dina. I think she's hilarious. Like, she's not trying to be. I just... Later on.
Yeah. She's so funny. So then Vinny takes Snooki out. She tells him that she doesn't want to be in the house anymore. I thought that was really nice of him. Mm-hmm. So they go to a sex store and Snooki buys a stripper pole for the house. Buy one of these like really cheap ones that you can just put anywhere because it like they're supposed to like suction to the ceiling. But obviously if you want to do any type of pole tricks on it, you need to screw it into like drill it into the ceiling, right? Which mm-hmm. we see in this episode. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Ron and Sam come down the stairs and Ronnie swings around it, which I thought was really funny. I like died at that. Ronnie just like jumps on it and does a swing around and everyone's like, ew, what the fuck, Ronnie?
Oh my God.
So we get a scene of the four guys going to the barber shop, and
this is where all the dirt comes out.
Yeah. So Polly asks the barber. He's like, "Oh, so when the Ronnie stunt double comes in, does he ask for the same haircut as Ronnie?" And the barber says, "You know what's funny? You know what's funny? He said that she wanted to bleep his ass, and he wasn't about it." And they're all just like,
I know.
Laughing.
I love how they put everything, but it's so clear that it's like, yeah, he said he wanted her to suck his dick, but she only wanted to suck his ass. And it's like, but they bleep it out. But like through the gesture, like it's like a game of telephone. Like you don't totally know what he said. Well, I didn't totally know what they were talking about at first because of the bleeps. But then as the telephone rumor kept going, you can tell because especially Vinny's gestures. I mean, sorry, Polly's gestures. And Mike, oh my God, it's actually hilarious when they do. It's not okay. It's not okay to start false rumors, but it's a funny scene.
The barber is like, Yeah, she said the jacuzzi cleans it out.
That's such a awful play of putting it. I mean, do a rim job if you want, but like, don't call it sucking out the jacuzzi. That's disgusting. You're not cleaning it. Okay.
I know.
So, if you want to pleasure an area, that's fine. You're not cleaning it. Ugh.
So now the guys go from the barbershop to the gym. And for some reason, Dina, J-Lo, and Roger are all there as well. And Mike says to Dina, I heard a story about you today.
I heard a story about you.
Oh, God, good, bad. And Mike's like, in the middle. And Dina's like,
Dina is so me. Like, what? Huh? What?
She's like, is it something about like sex or something? And Mike's like, here, come here. Like, walk beside me on the treadmill and I'll tell you. So Dina gets on the treadmill beside the treadmill that Mike's on. And he's like, let's say you like to bleep. Not bleep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what he says is, you like to suck dick, suck butt, not suck dick.
Okay. I was gonna ask you. I was like, eh. So, and then in Dina's talking head,
or eat ass, not eat dick. Either way.
Yeah, Dina's talking head. She's like, I would never bleep.
That's disgusting.
Which you can clearly tell. She says suck a butt.
Suck a butt. Yeah.
And then Dina like goes up to Polly after, and she asks Polly about the whole thing, and Polly's like,
"Well, yeah, I got said this."
Polly's mouth to the bleeps was the most obvious thing ever. He said so he wanted you to suck his dick, yeah, but you wanted to eat his butt instead.
And yeah, then he Dina's says it like, so clearly.
Yeah, no, Dina's like, bleeped. No, that never happened.
That's disgusting.
And she's pissed, clearly.
Well, I would be pissed. Even if it were true, I'd be pissed. Especially if it weren't true, I'd be pissed. Like, don't talk about me. The barber said that. It wasn't even fucking low-budget Ronnie that said it. It was the barber. And then, she confronts Discount Ronnie about it.
Mm-hmm.
Dean and Dina.
So it's right here. So we got a scene of everyone at Karma. And then at Karma, Dina is like dancing on the stage or whatever. And she sees Dean, aka Great Value Ronnie. And he looks at her and he's like, hey. And Walmart. She's like, go away. Go away. I don't want you.
Get out of here. She's like kind of up. She's up on a, not a stage, but just like a little bit of like a pedestal shelf like thing. She's like, get out of here.
She tells him that he's annoying and that he talks shit. And she says that it's because of him that she's getting tormented at the house. Aww. And he's like, I didn't say anything. Okay, so what's your opinion on this? Because I actually kind of believe him, and I think that the barber made it up.
I think the barber just made shit up because he was like, oh, sure, that girl, I heard she likes butt. Like, he just made something up. I just think he made something up because he's on TV. How hard is it to make that up as a man? Oh, she likes the butt, not the dick. Like, what woman is like, no, I won't suck your dick, but definitely let me suck your ass. Like, no one.
I wonder if...
Call me, DM me if you're that girl, and I will apologize to you. But, like, it seems uncommon is all I'm saying. If that's what you like, that's what you like. No kink shaming, but, like, Dina, clearly it wasn't Dina's kink. Otherwise, why wouldn't she just own it?
And yeah, she's definitely the type of girl that would, but
that would be like, yeah, I suck the ass. Who cares?
Yeah, I wonder if like,
I'm in my childhood bedroom right now. I hope my parents aren't like right outside the door thinking that I said that about myself.
Imagine.
I don't suck ass, but like, I mean, I don't know.
I wonder if when Dina saw this on TV, if she still thought it was Dean that told the barber, or if she.
I mean, they all have way more context than we do. Maybe he did. Maybe Dean is the one who's like, oh, famous girl. But I think it was the barber because he was on the spot.
By the way, Dean definitely pencils in his eyebrows.
Yeah, but I almost feel like Ronnie ends up doing that later on too. So, but I agree with you.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt if Ronnie did too. I really noticed it on Dean in this club scene. It
yeah, just do a good job.
Us girls do when we put on really like dark makeup when we're going out for the night. I feel like that's what Dean sure. did. He's like, oh, I got to make sure the eyebrows are like extra heavy so people can see them in the club, you know?
Got to make sure they don't have eyebrows.
So this is where Jenny goes up to Ron and Sam and she offers to get them a drink. And Sam goes to the bar with Jenny and Sam says to Jenny, I know I don't have any business saying anything, but I know that you were just looking out. And Jenny just says, like, thank you. I appreciate that. And Sam tells Jenny that she's done with the mean bone in her body. And basically, the episode just ends on a really high note for the whole house. Everyone is, you know, everyone's made up. Everyone's good.
Feels like it's in a positive spin. Things are on a positive spin. Listen to Coast, everybody. That's us. And if you don't know me, I have a podcast called And What Do We Learn? What Did We Learn? Sorry. And you can find that on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you, if you really like it, you can go to my Patreon, patreon.com/awdwl for now. But Justine and I are working on combining so you can get both of our stuff. So
big things.
We got a lot going on.
And head over to my Patreon right now, patreon.com/dimtu. I've had a bunch of new people sign up recently, so thank you guys so much.
It's wonderful.
And Sarah and I are going to have a few more drinks, and we're going to be on my, well, Janelle level talking about Janelle. So I'll see you guys over there for now. Bye.
Bye.